Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. And Glenn, if you would please, could you do the roll call?
Yes, certainly I will. We have on the call Mike O'Connor, Business Constituency, Paul Dias, yourself from the Registrar Constituency and leader of the group, James Bladel, Registrar, Michael Collins, Business Constituency, Sebastian Bachelot, ALAC, and Mike Rodenbach, who is the liaison to the Council Business Constituency. And for staff, we have Olaf Nordling, Marika Koenig, and myself.
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's well. I also hope that you've all had an opportunity to see the documents that were posted up on the wiki. I believe in the focus of this call today, we need to do a couple of things. Come to some consensus and approve the template for constituency statements. Interrelated, of course, is to agree on the timetable that's been posted. And the third key issue will be to approve the draft text for the public comment period. If we approve the statement, we intend to leverage it into the public comment period and try and get that underway and begin soliciting inputs as soon as possible. Does anybody have any questions or specific things they'd like to address before we launch into this? No? Okay. Then perhaps it may be easiest if we, if you all can look at, why don't we begin with the template? That's probably the largest amount of work we have for today. If you can pull it up. If you recall on last week's call, we were moving text around. We've made some changes already. In the interim, I don't believe anybody during the week had additional adds or changes. Perhaps there's something. We'll get to it at the end in the third issue. In any event, as you can see, we've laid it out. We've tried to be as clear as possible, providing the question that was that is part of our charter, and then the follow-on. So if we could, I assume there's no contention for the introduction, so to speak. So if you would please. We can go to issue number one. You see, as it's been laid out, it's been cleaned up nicely, and open it to everyone for comments, suggested changes, inclusions, etc.
This is Mike O'Connor.
Please, Mike, go ahead.
In the second bullet, we might want to narrow that one to only talking about the email address stuff. The way that one reads right now, it's the whole automation of approval. It doesn't, it's pretty broad.
Okay, do you have any suggested text we might throw in there so that everybody can kind of get their head more clearly around what you're looking for?
Something maybe, please identify examples or best practices of automated email exchange that are currently being used to facilitate or automate approval, blah, blah, blah. Something like that would get at what I'm thinking.
Question for the group, and I think I have an answer if I put on my network solutions hat, but I think... Yes.
I'm sorry, this is James.
James.
Mike, I would refer you to the second sentence after the question mark. I felt that second bullet point restated that first phrase. I see a connection there, and I guess I wouldn't want to narrow that bullet point without narrowing that initial question.
The initial question being, is there a way for registrars to make email address data to one another?
The second part, currently there is no way of automating approval from the registrant. And then it lists, as the registrant, email address is not a required field in the registrar who is.
Yeah.
So I think in that context, the second bullet point is at least a little implicitly narrowed. That was just my interpretation.
Yeah. No, and I don't feel real strongly about this. I was just reading that maybe out of context. Maybe that's the right approach, is to say, no, Mikey, you have to read the bold question first and then keep your response in there. I just read it sort of on its own, and, you know, that could get pretty broad. But
well, I agree with you. On its own, it is very open-ended.
I agree as well, Mike. I think if any of us can misinterpret, I think it will be very easily misinterpreted, especially when it gets out to the public comment. So that's the purpose of today's call. Let's try to tighten the language. I also wanted to note, as James just did, that, you know, right now there's no automated approval process in place. So if we add language or, you know, tweak it in any ways, you know, let's keep that in mind and be careful not to refocus on or use language again, focusing on automated means when, in fact, we recognize that there's no automated process in place.
Yeah.
And Sebastian, I suggest that we can see the sentence or a question a little bit standalone, because if you are not native speaking English, you may forget in what you read three sentences before, and it may be better to be a little bit redundant, but to be more accurate for the purpose we want to pursue.
Excellent point, Sebastian. Okay, in that case, then, since three of you have essentially made the raised the same concern, should we repeat the, you know, maybe the first clause in that second sentence, add it to the bullet, so, or maybe we don't have to absolutely repeat it, but the currently there's no way of automating approval from the registrant. Perhaps adding something to the second bullet point, since there is currently no way of automating approval from the registrant, or as there is no way of automating, something to that effect, then say, please identify examples of best practices.
Doesn't that, I'm sorry, this is James again, doesn't it somewhat become a contradictory sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Since there are no way to, there's no means to automate approval, please identify examples of automating approval?
Good point. As soon as I said it, I realized, wait a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that actually broadens it more. You know, what I was aiming for was to narrow it to the email address data. And what I guess I was thinking is that perhaps there are examples of ways that email addresses are being exchanged that people could point to. And so what I would suggest is please identify examples or best practices of ways that email addresses are currently being used to facilitate or automate approval from a registrar.
Okay, how does that sound to the group?
Do you want me to edit that?
I was going to ask you, Mike, have you already logged in? Can you go ahead and throw that text in there so we can see it?
Yeah, hang on just a second. Okay, it's up there. So you should be able to refresh and see it.
Thank you, Mike. Does everybody see it now? How do you all feel about it?
I'm still getting the older version. Oh, wait, no, now I see it.
Hi, this is Mark Trachtenberg. I apologize for joining late.
No problem, Mark. We're going through the draft template. We're focused on issue number one, the second bullet point. We're making some changes to the text. If you can, you can see all this in the wiki. If you can log in, and by all means, any changes you'd like to see,
yeah,
just jump right on in.
Okay, I will.
For everyone else?
Yes. Sebastian, do you think we can't be a little bit less currently being used? You can't say "are used" to facilitate? If not, if even if it's not a pure English sentence, currently being used seems to be very easy sentence.
Okay, Sebastian, how does everyone feel about that? Perhaps there were methods that were used in the past. By striking the currently being from the sentence, it may spark ideas that were used in the past and for whatever reason are no longer current. Does anybody
okay,
have a problem with that?
Yeah,
that works for me.
I agree with that approach.
Okay.
I agree.
Are you still in it, Mike?
Yeah, I'm saving that.
Hang okay.
On a second.
Thank you.
Should be there now. Yep, it's there now.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments on this, or certainly the other bullet points here in issue one?
I think we may want to include, right now you have are used, and so I don't think it gets us quite to where we want to be. Maybe we could say are or have been used to facilitate, just so we can encompass anything that may have been done in the past. A little nitpicky, but
no,
I want to make sure we don't exclude anything that may be a good suggestion.
All of here could be perhaps saving even more bits and ink, as it were, by just cutting it even shorter. So please identify examples of best practices of, like before, email address use to facilitate and or automate approval from a registrant for transfer. Then we avoid the verb.
Yep, I think that gets us there.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Can you do that, Mike? And Sebastian, how does that work for you? You bring a helpful perspective in.
It seems to be okay, but I need to read it. Sorry, I need to.
Understood.
Something from my head.
It's up there now. I just saved it. No, it didn't work.
We got part of it, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't write it right. Help me out. What should it really be?
Olaf, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we should cut out the of ways, correct?
Yeah, I think getting rid of ways.
Get away with ways.
Yeah.
Let me save that. It's up there now. See if that's got it.
That does it.
Works for me.
Okay. Anyone else? Everybody satisfied with this?
It's not... Interesting. Okay.
Good. How about the third bullet? We've had some discussion about this already, and we've gone back and forth in the order of the text that we're presenting. Is everybody comfortable with its current construction?
It's fine for me.
Fine for me.
I missed the meeting, but we talked about that, but I agree.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Sounds good then. All right. Seems like we have consensus on issue one, so why don't we move then to number two, please? With any of the bullets in folks' minds, or are they, again, comfortable with the way it's currently constructed?
I'm still reading.
Sorry.
This looks fine to me.
This is James.
Sure, James.
A minor point, but it seems that just a second, I'm rereading it here so I don't say something silly, but it seems that the third bullet is somewhat of a leading question. I think if we would say, do you know of any registrars, and it shouldn't be possessive,
right?
It should be registrars using or offering electronic authorization, and then just leave it at that without offering suggestions. There could be other things out there that maybe are not easily categorized. That's just a thought.
Mike Rodenbaugh, I like the way it is, but I think that it's phrased as a yes or no question right now, and we need to broaden to also, you know, identify who and what.
Okay.
If we were to change it to, say, do you know of any registrars using additional means for electronic authorization, would that get us where we would want to be, where we would leave it open-ended and they could provide the information? Or yes or no?
Well, rereading the original bolded question, now I'm starting to reverse myself a little bit because it specifically mentions a security token, and I see that that's the only place that comes up. I'm going to withdraw my question.
Okay, so how about Barbara's proposed construction? Does that work better for folks? Barbara, could you just say it again?
Maybe what we do is we go ahead and just say, do you know of any registrars using additional means for electronic authorization? And then maybe we go ahead and leave the, you know, for example, security tokens still there, but maybe toward the end of the sentence.
Maybe we can add another sentence afterwards and say, if so, what are they?
Okay.
Kind of like the second bullet point where it has that kind of explanatory additional sentence on the end.
Hmm? Mike, can I call on you again to speak the language, or should I hop in and do it? Okay, then I'll go in and do it.
I'm sorry, I was sitting there talking to myself eloquently on mute. It's in there.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm sitting here having this huge conversation with you, and we're coming up with random replies. My apologies.
How does that look to folks?
Hey, I have a general question on this issue. Do you think really that it's a question open to everybody? That means that, don't you think that it's really for some constituency or some group of people? Because I am not sure that end user have anything with if we use or not use EPP. Even I don't know how to use. I heard about EPP, but I can't tell you what the letters say for. Then is it really an open question for everybody, or it's more for registry eventually?
For me, Sebastian, wearing my network solutions hat, I guess then it's a chair as well. I would argue that the questions are still appropriate for multiple inputs, multiple constituencies. Yes, registries will probably be more inclined to answer about EPP, but sometimes getting certain members, certain registrars in particular, to respond can be problematic. So, for instance, your user group, the ALAC, might be ones who help us identify some registrars who are offering this. There's, I think, more eyes and more inputs will be useful to the work of this particular group. If it doesn't apply to you, you can simply pass it over, but it's probably worthwhile having a full scope of questions put out to everybody, and you just answer those that are appropriate to your own experience. Other thoughts?
I agree with that. I think maybe we need to state somewhere that you can leave aside some question if they don't fit, but try to answer as much as possible question.
Yeah, to amplify this conversation, one of the things we probably want to let people know is that this round is essentially an information gathering round. It's not so much a policy statement as it is a chance for people to offer ideas, and that they shouldn't feel that they have to. They should not feel that they have to answer every single question.
And we might be able to do that up in the top somewhere.
Those are both good suggestions, I think.
Yeah, it's a very good point. All right.
Olaf here. I've got a little comment. Perhaps it would be polite and a bit useful to spell it out as well, the EPP, and perhaps also to provide a link to Wikipedia or whatever, because it is for those curious about what kind of animal is this.
Okay.
Olaf, I am sure that you have a place on the ICANN website where EPP is explained somewhere. You don't need Wikipedia for that.
Oh, well. that may be so. I'll do my best, but I take that off offline later on.
Okay. Olaf, could I ask you to find a link? I think that's an excellent idea. Could you insert, spell out EPP, extensive provisioning protocol, and then a link to a source, an explanatory source that people feel comfortable with, whether it's Wiki, Better, something on ICANN, etc.
I must say, I feel a bit embarrassed by Sebastian's comments, because I recognize that I did put a link in the issues report to explain the EPP, and that I think I did draw that to Wikipedia. Too late, certainly. But, okay, I'll look into it then.
Yeah.
This is Marika. Maybe something we can do as well is in the introduction clearly refer people as well to the issues report to make sure that people have read the relevant background documentation on these issues, so that makes it easier as well, I guess, to understand the questions and provide the information that we're trying to get through these questions.
A very good point, Marika. Yes, please. How would folks like to proceed? Shall we save this and come back to it at the end? Do we want to move through the issues, or should we try and insert this language now while the thought's fresh in our minds?
their preference one way or the other?
I think we could probably insert this afterwards.
Yeah, that would be my preference, if it's all the same anyway. Let's make sure that we're comfortable with the text we have for the three issues, and then we'll circle back and work on the introductory language, again, recognizing that there will be different readerships, so that, you know, the language isn't so specific to, okay, this is just for constituencies. We also have to keep in mind this language is going to be morphed and used for the public comment period, call for public comments as well. Okay, all excellent points. So we will come back to that. For now, are there other bullets here on issue two that folks would like to modify in any way?
Paul, this is James.
Yes, James.
Visiting back to the third bullet point, I liked Barbara's, I think it was Barbara's suggestion that we retain the security token mentioned, and I think we may have lost that, at least in the version that I have. Can we reinstall that?
Sure. Would that go before the first question mark then? So you say electronic authorization, parentheses, e.g. security token?
Yes.
FOIA?
That's what I had indicated originally, mm-hmm. So I think it would go there.
You do that for us, Mike? Just copy and paste that parenthetical, e.g. security token and FOA, and paste it in after electronic authorization or bullet?
Yeah, I didn't get the FOA part. It's up there now. See if that's enough, or do we want to have FOA in there?
I would prefer to leave it a little more open and not exclusively tie it to the FOA.
Okay. So it's changed.
How does that look to folks? Thank you, Mike.
Should we also include digital signatures and along with security token?
Sure.
You could say something like examples include.
Either that or the e.g. security token, comma, digital signatures, comma, et cetera. Leave it open-ended. Either or.
Oh, that's fine. Let's do that. Digital. Okay, that's up there. Now, to get to Mike Rodenbaugh's point, when we're saying, if so, what are they? Are we asking which registrars, or are we asking which mechanisms to authenticate, or both? Should we make that clear? Now, if I read that sentence and I was pounding my way through, my answer would probably be, no, I don't know any registrars, and that would be that. Maybe what we want to do is make it more inviting for people to give examples of registrars and techniques.
Mm-hmm. That was your initial thought, right, Mike Rodenbaugh?
Yes, that was.
Okay. So would, if so, what are they and who offers them? Would that capture it?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Works for me.
Okay.
It's saving. It's up. Okay.
that's looking good to folks. Are there any of the other bullets here on issue two we need to further address?
We need really to explain all the acronyms. I try to find on internet what is FOR, FOA, and I find some really interesting thing.
Yeah.
Foreign Office Architect, for example.
Yeah. Fair enough. Form of authorization in this context. But, let's...
But that will be done at the end. But for the rest of you, I am okay.
Okay. For the last bullet point, number two, should we add another little sentence just like in the third bullet point? If so, what are they and who offers them?
That's fourth point.
Which bullet was that?
The final one.
The final bullet in issue two. I mean, one, to be consistent, but two, to elicit the information that we're looking for. I mean, you would hope people would not just say yes and leave it at that, but...
Yeah. Now, again, let's try to be as clear and as obvious, almost to the point of painful.
Well, I know that when I have been writing these, it's useful to have them as self-contained as possible so that you're constantly reminded what your correct response should be. So.
Sure. That's a good point. Can you just copy that?
Yeah, I pushed it in. It's up on the wiki now.
Thank you, Mike. Okay. Any other issues here with our issue number two?
Good to me.
Okay. And again, to Sebastian's point, we'll go back before this is pushed out and make sure that any acronyms are clearly spelled out. And or links are provided, like we had discussed with ECT. When we say that the SAC is identified, we can even link SAC and link it to that particular report. It's there. Never mind. I don't think anybody will be confused about that fact. That's well understood. Okay, then. If there are no other concerns, let's move on to issue three. So, I would ask, let's break this into two parts, if we will. Let's just first focus on the first two bullet points. And we move to the third. I'd like to refer back to some discussion we've had on the email list. Make sure that we address everybody's issues and concerns. So on the first two, are they clear and reasonably stated for everyone?
I think for the first one, I would add to the sentence there asking for clarification is please state the reasons and use cases for your answer. Or something
okay.
Along that line.
In last week's call, even the use of the term partial bulk transfer, are we comfortable with the way we've defined it above? Is that capturing it clearly enough for everyone? In particular, I'm making reference to what we're going to be bringing up in bullet three. And again, the discussions we've had in email about what appeared to be the nexus of this question in the previous work, previous efforts to identify the issues, and it seemed that folks in the past were focused on a particular case, Neustar's service, and rather than having a one-off registry service, partial bulk transfer as they conceptualize it, being the focus of the work of this particular group. If we want it that narrowly focused, fine. Or do we want to... my only concern is that we need to make certain that the the definition that we use for partial bulk transfer is clearly understood by folks, both within the constituencies and the public at large.
Should we make clear that we're talking about transfers not at the behest of the registrant?
I think we need that clarification.
because that's not clear in the way it's written right now.
Thank you.
I think that's bullet three, though, is it not?
Yeah, but I think, Mike, that one of the things that when I was on one of the previous iterations of this PDP, I interpreted it the other way when I wrote our response. And so I think it's important to clarify that definition up in the bolded part of the thing as well as down in bullet three.
We probably need to do it in both places.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's easier to go, if everybody's comfortable with what we have, I'm sorry, do we make the change per Barbara's request in number one?
Which one?
There was going to be state the reasons and use cases.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you got it in. Thank you.
I pushed that in.
Okay.
Hi, Paul. This is James.
Yes, James.
One other just recommendation is that that we insert into the first bullet point the word voluntary or discretionary. I'm trying to draw a distinction between a business arrangement, a merger or acquisition, versus a registrar failure, and it is involuntarily having its some or all of its domain registration portfolio transferred to another registrar.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a wild goose in this particular bullet point, but I just wanted to put that on the table for discussion.
This is Olaf. I think you're right in clarifying that, although a bulk transfer, this is what would happen in case of failure and failover. So then it's called a bulk transfer, and that there are already provisions for that, as you know. But maybe just to be very, very clear to those responding to it, I think that's a good point. And now I have to leave. Bye-bye, all of you.
Thank you, Olaf. And I think that what Olaf just said is very useful, and it, if nothing else, it helps to lend support to the definition of partial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, James, so where would you want it to... for handling voluntary partial bulk transfers? Is that where you would insert the word?
Well, based on Olaf's comment, I think anywhere where we define partial bulk transfer, we want to distinguish it from a bulk transfer that's occurring in, due to the case of a registrar failure.
So would we say partial or voluntary bulk transfer?
Mm.
I think it has to, voluntary has to be associated with the partial bulk transfer, because I think otherwise it almost sounds as though a registrar could go to a registry and simply request a bulk transfer without ICANN authorization of the whole portfolio.
I agree with Barbara. I don't think it becomes an or situation. They need to be linked. Otherwise, I also see this opening up into a, folks moving portfolios around,
right.
And that's not what we had in mind with this issue three.
And see, the trick with voluntary is that that doesn't exclude the move portfolios around case.
Yeah.
This only excludes the involuntary. I'm looking for that to be covered in bullet point number three.
Right. Okay. Why don't we jump to bullet three? Because if... In addressing it, it may become clearer, and we might get some ideas for the language that we're all seeking right now. I guess fundamentally, and Michael Collins, I know you're on the call, so please weigh in and for the statement you've already made to the list. I mean, we have, as it's currently structured here, two scenarios. A fundamental question is, should we really be offering two scenarios? Was that the intention? Is that what we're really looking for?
It seemed to me in early discussions that we, and what was written in the charter was that we were considering two scenarios, but when I went back and talked to Tim Lewis and some other registrars, I don't think that was what was intended for us to be considering. I think it was not intended for registrants to consider this as a means for registrants to move portfolios.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
I agree as well. Looking at any of the past stuff, scenario B does, I don't believe, applies based on any of the historical things I've seen. But
I would agree.
Leave it open. Is there anybody who feels that scenario B really should be part of the mandate of this particular working group and should be included?
I'm going to chime in. Certainly when I wrote the BC response, that was one of the things that I was supporting as a kind of consumer capability, saying, you know, I would like to move a boatload of names from one registrar to another, and I saw this as the mechanism to do that. Is there another mechanism that could do that instead, so that we could clarify this one the way we wanted? You know, I don't really want to throw my body on the tracks in front of this one, but it would be nice to have a mechanism for being able to move a group of names all at once.
Mike, this is James Blayle. One of the earlier conversations we had revolved around some of the registrars out there who have developed, who are targeting the market of large portfolio holders and who are developing commercial services to do that.
Okay.
And we were just discussing whether that was within scope of ICANN to create a or to recommend consensus policy for everyone to follow, or whether we should allow those registrars who are serving that market segment to innovate and differentiate different services to those registrants who have that need. And going through some of our customer data, I think we found even with our large customer data, we're looking at less than 1% of our customer base could possibly make use of something like that. So that was just some of our earlier conversations. And just to give you some background on why we feel pretty strongly about leaving scenario B out of the equation.
Well, I'm a pretty small portfolio holder. I think in total I have something like 100 names, and they're such powerful names as geezercast.com, et cetera, et cetera. And it is pretty tedious to move a bunch of names, you know, 50 names from one registrar to another. I'm not sure that I would, you know, it certainly wouldn't kill me to do it. But, you know, as I think about the sort of unsophisticated domain portfolio holder, which is basically what I am, it would be nice to have a mechanism that I could do bulk stuff against more than one name.
And Mike, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Just by way of example, we recently helped someone move over 10,000 names through our domain concierge transfer service.
Yeah.
So that there are offerings out there.
Yeah.
This is
right, but to get the domain from the existing registrar to you could be a pain.
This is where I was going to agree with. It's not the difficulty finding a registrar that'll help you on, you know, the new registrar, and it's hard getting sometimes registrars to help and cooperate on the losing end.
Right, exactly. And you know, that was really where I was getting perky about this, is that one way to make it difficult is to say, sure, you can, the losing registrar can say, sure, you can leave, but you have to go through 9 steps per domain, and if you have 100 domains, it's going to take you all day. And that's just a disincentive. You know, the sort of overall thread of what I was writing for the BC was saying anything that makes it easier and yet more secure to manage domains is a good thing from the business constituency point of view, irrespective of scale, you know, ranging from 50 names to 10,000 to 100,000. Clearly, those are different kinds of customers. But the point that I was trying to make at that time was...
Folks, just because we have only about 10 minutes left in our time, so I'm going to ask that we
I would like to work through this one.
I also want to ask fundamentally, and Barbara, if you can weigh in here, when we're dealing with the bulk transfer process, there is a significant difference in that under this process, there's a flat fee, and then there are no, a year is not added, correct?
That's correct, and
so
the fee only applies if there are more than 50,000 names.
Only 50,000. So if we start opening this up and redefining or creating a partial bulk transfer, we've now sort of fundamentally changed the way the system for transfers is going to work. Because anything under 50,000, all of a sudden we'd be saying, what, they don't have to pay the fee?
Well, I believe in the solution that's out there, that one of the other registries has actually rolled out, the BTAPA solution, I believe that they have come up with additional fees. It's not the full registration fee. I don't know that, and I don't believe that they rolled the date forward, but I believe there is a nominal fee that they're charging per domain name.
Okay.
Is this to registrars or registrants? So, I mean, it's still something that... Is this available to
register?
Okay.
Rachel, when would a registrar do a partial bulk transfer?
We've actually had people approach us, which is not spelled out here as a scenario, but perhaps it should be. If a reseller of an ICANN-accredited registrar becomes accredited, they may wish to move their portfolio of names that were being managed by the accredited registrar to their own accreditation.
Okay.
And I suppose that If there are reasons allowed other than just what's stated here, I think what was stated in the new level one was just mergers and acquisitions type of purpose. If the purpose is broadened, I suppose that registrants still could take advantage of this through cooperating registrars.
How would this apply in mergers and acquisitions?
If you purchase the registrar...
Then wouldn't you take all their domain names?
You could take all their domain names and move them to your existing registrar. If you already had a registrar and you just wanted to consolidate and not have to maintain two accreditations.
But wouldn't that be a full bulk transfer?
I mean, we've actually seen those being...
That would be a full bulk transfer, yes.
I mean, I guess I just don't see the need for us... Maybe it's just not clear to me why there's a need for us to address a partial bulk transfer. I mean, in the scenario you described where a reseller becomes a registrar, becomes accredited, is that really a consensus problem? That's a business decision that particular entity made to become a reseller first and then become accredited. I don't know that it's wise or necessary for us to consider that scenario. I'm just having difficulty thinking of other scenarios that are public problems.
It would seem to me that you could presume other cases. I don't know if there's actually a business case for it in the past, but you could presume that there would be cases where a registrar might sell a customer to a different registrar.
But it seems to me that that's a business problem for that registrar. That's their cost of doing business. I don't know why we need a public consensus to make that a public consensus issue. It doesn't seem like it affects that many people, and you know, I don't think the purpose of what we're doing is to make it cost-free for all types of different entities to do business.
You know, I think that it's a question that is worth asking and getting feedback from each of the constituencies regarding it. Because, I mean, it has been raised as an issue to us as the registry operator, and it obviously warranted a fair amount of discussion in the previous working group. Original issues with...
I think it's certainly worth asking the questions. There's really no harm in doing that while we're on this topic, and the BC at least on record interested in the issue.
And it may be that we come back as, you know, as the working group to recommend, based on the feedback that we get, that the policy shouldn't incorporate a means for affecting a bulk or partial bulk transfer. Excuse me.
Okay, this is Paul again. I guess the question then is, do we in the first bullet, the way it's broadly stated now, do we capture all that? Do we need the third bullet? Then state reasons and use cases could be very open-ended as it's currently drafted. Is that good enough? Can we, you know, if people want to weigh in, they can, and if not, why create a scenario A, scenario B? I mean, heck, there could be C, D, and E as well.
Right, I
agree.
Let
the people define their use cases, and we'll see what comes back.
I would agree with that approach.
I think that's fine as long as we leave the definition pretty broad, because then what I would probably do, at least from my perspective, is rumble my registrant use case into this,
mm-hmm.
and you know, get it injected into the discussion that way. That would,
as we've currently defined, is this broad enough? So if the proposal on the table is to strike the third bullet, allow the first bullet to capture all these use cases that we've just been discussing, but it turns importantly on the definition of partial bulk transfer. What we currently have in the bolded text, is that good enough, or do we need to tweak that language still?
Matt, I think if it just applies to transfers at the behest of registrars, we should make that clear. Otherwise, we're going to get a lot of clutter in here, and we're going to have too much information that's not really applicable.
Okay.
I like the definition right the way it is, because that leaves me room for my registrant wanting to move a group of names use case and wouldn't want to define that away.
Yes, if you don't restrict the use cases, all registrants have to work through registrars anyway, so they're going to have to use a registrar to accomplish it.
Isn't a partial bulk transfer the transfer where there's no extension of a year?
Exactly.
A different type of transfer. So, you know, why should registrants be able to transfer the domain names for free because they have more of them?
If they have a registrar that's willing to do that for them in order to acquire that portfolio, I don't see a problem with it.
Could I take a point of personal privilege? There's somebody that's got like a vacuum cleaner going in the background, or a jet plane or something. That's really
driving in a convertible. If you can, folks, move on the line. Thank you.
There it went.
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
Hopefully we've all heard that. I'm just sensitive to the time, and I realize folks have things after this call at the top of the hour. So this is obviously very important, and I don't want to gloss over it. In the same way, I am sensitive to our timeline and broader commitments as part of the working group. I think what I'm going to ask is that we don't have enough time to hit all the things that were on our agenda today. But next week's call, we really must wrap this up, agree to the text for the public comment period, and we also need... what I'd ask the last thing right now, please just give me a placeholder for that one. For now, can we put this, table this to next Tuesday? We'll strike the third bullet, let people look at this, you know, think about the implications, you know, how wide-ranging or how narrowly focused it needs to be. And we'll go right to issue 3, the beginning of our call next week, try and tie this up, give us all a week as well to talk to colleagues and others to, you know, come back with any specific recommendations. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so I don't think there's a whole lot of choice here, but, I mean, does that seem reasonable to folks?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I struck that bullet.
One basic question for the group today, though, is we have, through Barbara, the GNSO Council, and Mike Runbaugh, of course, has asked if we would like time to update the council or speak to the council at the Cairo meeting about the work of this group. I think given how our timeline is sliding a little bit, it's increasingly obvious that we will not have a final report by Cairo. But at a minimum, you know, we probably will be well along our process. And I was going to recommend that we do ask for some time before council to at least provide them a face-to-face update on the status of our work at that time. Does that seem reasonable, folks?
Yes.
And out of curiosity, how many folks on the call plan to be in Cairo and would be there on the weekend before, a Saturday or Sunday, because that's when the GNSO will be meeting and we'll be able to pencil us in?
This is Michael Counter. I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Okay. A number of us. We can coordinate. I will be there as well, and obviously as chair, I'm perfectly content to represent the group, and if more of us can coordinate and be there at the same time, I think the council would probably like to hear additional perspectives. That being the case, Mike Rudenbaugh, can I ask that you go back to the council and let them know that, yes, this working group would like a small amount of their time at their convenience that weekend just to provide a substantive update on the status of our work?
Sure. I think that will work, and then the council would have questions for you on that working session day, and then probably would want to give a brief public update during the public session on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever that is.
Okay.
So what do you think of a half an hour, 45 minutes on the working session day, something like that?
I would think, a half hour, because, again, since our work is on the wiki and the public comment period, most of the information will be available to people. I think it'll be more summarization than substantive discussion at that point.
Yeah.
So half hour would probably be fine.
Anyone answer, ask questions. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you. All right, everyone. Very much appreciate the time. I think this has been great. I'm glad we moved through issues 1 and 2. We will begin with issue 3 next Tuesday at the same time. And, you know, would ask that please come ready to hammer this one out. We will also update our timeline, polish off the text for the solicitation of public comments, and, you know, get all those things done in next week's call.
Sounds good.
Very good. Thank you once again, and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Very good. Bye-bye now.